Good to see you. Before we get started, thank you. Before we get started, Jared, Mr. Ratcliffe, if you'd be willing to join us and have opening prayer for us. And if you all could just kneel with us.
Dear Father in heaven, thank you for this good time we can have at camp so far. And we want to ask for you to please come and be with us during deep Bible study class and help us to learn what you want us to learn through this class. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Got it. Thank you, Jared. Buenos dias. What's another one? I mean another language. Bonjour. Thank you.
Hi.
It is good to see you this morning. Are you glad to be at, well, I won't ask you the question because it's implied that you say yes and then you might feel pressured to say yes, so I won't say it. But I'm glad you're here at Deep Bible Study Class. Are you glad to be here at Deep Bible Study Class?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Today we're going to be learning about feet. Yeah, check them out. You got your feet on?
Yeah.
Okay, good. You know your feet are always with you most of the time. And it's, no, I mean, unfortunately there's some, but most of us have our feet. Isn't that a blessing? And we're going to be spending a little bit of time looking at feet. But before we do that, I want to do a review because I like to teach and I like reviewing. So on Monday, we learned about how much armor we're supposed to put on. How much armor are we supposed to put on?
All
the armor. So we don't need just the sword, right? We also need helmet. What else do we need? Breastplate of righteousness. What else do we need? Shield of faith. What else do we need? Belt. That's right. What else do we need? Shoes. I'm glad you got the shoes. Okay. And we need to be doing prayer. So we have that whole picture of what takes place. Yesterday, what did we learn about yesterday? Putting it on, right? We got to put it on. Now, when you put it on, what does that mean? You're going to use it. That's pretty nice. Is it something that you already had on? No. Yesterday, we had Jason come and he helped us out. And he put his, bulletproof vest on Lupe, right? He said it was still his. Was he pretty clear about that? Yes, he said, this is mine, but who would it protect? His sister, isn't that right? And we saw the same thing with Kyle. There is, if, you know, no matter how hard I try, I can't stop a bullet by myself. But if I'm wearing the right thing, I can. And you and I, in our spiritual battle, if we try to do things by ourselves, it's just not successful. Anyhow, where are we going today? What are we going to discuss today? What's our topic for today?
Feet.
Do you mind looking at your feet? Just go ahead, check them out. I mean, you don't have to, but just a reminder of yourself what they look like. Feet are not always pretty. Am I right? Okay. Do feet sometimes not smell the best? They do. But feet are used in a very special way in the Bible. You know how the Bible describes feet? How does the Bible, what's the word it's used to describe feet?
Beautiful.
Okay. If I could have some volunteers from Soldiers of the Cross, I'd already called them out. I'm going to get another unit tomorrow. Soldiers, if you could help me pass out some handouts. Maybe two gentlemen, if you could take, make sure the ladies get some, and two gentlemen, make sure the gentlemen get some. Thank you, sir. If you could split that with Samuel, Christian, and Grant. The two of you could pass that on this side. Thank you. When you are studying a certain object, sometimes it's neat to see what the rest of the Bible says about that object. Now, who wrote the Bible? Give me proof. How do I know that God wrote the Bible? Prophecy. That okay. Well, who wrote prophecy? God. Okay, that's great. So who wrote? How do I know? Can you give me proof from the Bible, like a text, the Bible text that says that God wrote the Bible? How do I know that Samuel didn't write Samuel? Well, he did. But you said God wrote it. Help me out. Okay. Thank you. Is there a text that speaks it even more distinctly who wrote the Bible or how it was written? Let me put it that way. Yes, ma'am. Whoa, where is that found? Yes. Where is it? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. Inspired means God breathed. Okay. Is there any other Bible passage that lets me know who wrote the Bible? Yes, sir. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. You want to turn there? 2 Peter, if you have your Bibles, let's open up. 2 Peter chapter, which chapter? 1, and what verse? 19 to 21. Let's go there. 2 Peter chapter 1, and starting with verse 19. The Bible says, could someone read verse 19 for me? Nice, loud voice, or at least as loud as you can make it. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Very good. And could someone read verse 20? Yes. Nice, strong voice. Okay, so we know we have a sure word of prophecy where it's good to pay attention to it. We've learned that no prophecy of the scripture is a private interpretation. Now let's read verse 21. If someone, yes, ma'am, nice strong voice. Thank you very much. So who wrote the Bible? Holy men of God, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So that is the picture. So when you and I are looking at the Word of God, it is written. That's why we call it the Word of God, because it came from Him. I know you knew that. We just got that solid. Let's look at our sheets. I want to find out as much as I can understand about a passage. Because God wrote the Bible, I know that under inspiration, people chose to use certain things to help us understand better. In prophecy, if I saw the word dragon in the book of Revelation, what does the word dragon mean? Satan, the devil, Satan, right? If I see lamb in the book of Revelation, what does it mean? All the time? That's right. So we have a lamb, a beast that looks like a lamb that speaks like a dragon. But every other time in the book of Revelation, lamb means Jesus. Very, very important. In fact, it's the only time it's not. It's fun to look at sometime if you're studying Revelation. In Daniel chapter 7, we see four beasts rising up out of the sea. What does a beast mean? What's a beast? It's a nation or a kingdom. And we see 10 horns. What are those 10 horns? Kings. Okay. Gentlemen, don't answer the next one. Ladies, are you ready? What is the head of gold on the statue in Daniel 2? Very good. Thank you. Nebuchadnezzar, right? And he was the king of Babylon. Very good. Okay, thank you. I just wanted to, you gentlemen were so strong, I thought I'd give the ladies a chance. Let's look at a specific word. And the word we're looking at today is? What word are we looking at today?
God.
Feet. Okay. We're going to study some specific words connected with feet, and I'm going to need some help. If you look in the bottom of the front side, We have several verses listed out here. Could someone and the gentleman find Deuteronomy 11:24? If we could have a lady with Joshua 14:9, another gentleman with 2 Kings 21:8, another lady with Psalms 8:6, another gentleman with Acts 4:35-37, another lady with Ephesians 1:22, and Hebrews 2:8, someone who is staff. Okay. Deuteronomy 11:24. Yes, sir. Yes, go ahead. So what does this tell me about feet, or what's connected with feet here? Ownership. He says, every place you tread upon, what do you tread with? Your feet. That is to belong to you. So there's ownership here. Okay, what is our next one? It's Joshua 14:9. Do I have a young lady? Yes, ma'am. Nice, strong voice. Wow. So again, we see this concept. What is it saying? Where your feet tread upon belongs to you. So we again look at ownership. It also looks at the fact that they conquered. Okay, gentlemen, let's look at Psalms 2 Kings 21:8. Yes, sir. Yes. Could you read the first sentence or first phrase one more time so we can all hear it? Okay, so he says, I'm not going to make your feet move by the land that I gave you. So what do we see here connected with feet? Possession, right? 2 Kings 21:8, you're staying there, permanence. I'll put possession. I like that. Thank you, sir. And we have another passage. Could you read it, ma'am? So what's connected with feet here? Dominion. Now there's, if you do a study on feet, you'll find there's about 3 or 4 key areas that feet are connected with. And have you sensed that we're looking at one specific area right now? Yes. Okay, good. Acts 4:35. Yes, sir. Yes. Wow. So in this story, we have people in the early Christian church, and they would sell something, and when they sold it, they would take it, and they would lay it at the feet of the apostle. Right? And what was that meaning? We are giving it to who? God, and specifically to those who are leading for God, so that he would be have the one who would have possession of what they had. Does that make sense? Okay, let's look at our next one, Ephesians 1:22. And yes, ma'am. Yes. So all things are at his feet, and he is the head of all things in the church. What do you see here? Could you say ownership again? He lordship. And what is our last one? Actually, we have two more, don't we? Yes, sir, in the back. Actually, this is Hebrews 2:8. I thought I'd pick. You look kind of like a staff. I misunderstood that for a second. Okay? Hebrews 2:8. Yes, go ahead. Yes. So I have here in Hebrews 2:8, things are put in subjection to Jesus, because his feet are there, under his feet. So we would say that he's ruler. Would that be fair? What is the, do you see a common theme as you're looking at these passages? It's pretty easy, right? So when you see in these passages, what's being talked about when you see feet? Ownership, rulership, possession. So would you say that if you're at someone's feet, do you own them or do they own you? Okay, very good. If you wanted to show that you were submissive to somebody, what would you do? What would you do?
Bow.
Bow where at?
At their feet.
So in these passages, by the way, do you? I was just at a class recently, and the man who was teaching the class is from the country of Iraq. And he was telling me that feet still shows a lot of things in his country. There's power in your feet. If you take your shoe off and throw it at someone, that's considered the worst insult possible. Why? It's connected with your feet, and you're showing that I'm above you. There's all kinds of interesting things that are being put together with that. All right. What we're going to take, and you've just done the front side all by yourself, what I'd like us to do is go to the back. We're going to be looking at the first section. What would you say about feet after reading the following scriptures? You're going to do that as units. We're going to do it very quick today. Take about 8-10 minutes, then we'll come back, do a summary on it, and then we have something. We're going to tie some things together that are fascinating when it comes to feet and understanding what it means to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. All right? Okay, God bless you. Happy studying. I'll call you back in about 8-10 minutes. All right, as we get in here, I'd like to tell you a story. There was a young man who wanted to run. He wanted to run so bad, he loved running. And you know, there was a job way back in his day for runners. You know what the job of runners was to do? They were messengers, that's right. And their job was to carry information from one place to another place. He wanted to run. Well, he just happened to be at a battle. It was a tremendous battle. In the battle, he saw the army of David defeat the armies of Absalom. Who was the general of David's army at that time? Joab. Joab went to a man by the name of Cushi and said, "Go take news of the battle back to David." And he said, "Okay, I'll go." And he started running. Then there was another young man who happened to be the son of the priest. His name was, some of you probably know his name, right? Ahimaaz. And Ahimaaz said, "Can I run after Cushi?" And Joab said, "Wherefore will you run, my son, seeing that you have no tidings ready? You have nothing to talk about. Why are you going to run?" He goes, "Please let me run anyhow." And he did. And the story tells, the Bible tells of how this race took place. Cushi didn't realize it was a race. Ahimaaz was racing, and he beat Cushi, the official runner, to David. Okay, you want to hear the rest of the story? Just wait. Now, let's go back to what we were just studying. I'm serious. We're going to come back to it. What we just studied in the back, what is feet connected with? Help me out.
Conquering
and rulership and destruction, etc., right? So we have feet on this side means rulership. Ownership. This side, the first section, we see feet are connected with what? Destruction, power, conqueror. Feet. Would you say to be at someone's feet is a good thing or a bad thing? It depends. Thank you. Depends whose feet you're at. Whoever's at the feet is what? According to what we've just learned, would you say Mr. McPherson is my superior or my inferior?
Inferior.
According to what we've just learned, he's my superior. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Does that confuse you? not Mr. McPherson. Whoever is sitting at the feet is in submission. So that's why you have this story of Mary and Martha. And where is Mary? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus being taught. And then you have this story of Paul who says, I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. What does that mean? He was the superior and I was being instructed by him. Sitting at the feet always was a sign of I'm inferior, and whoever's feet I'm at, they are superior. Are you ready for something I find quite shocking? Let's go to John chapter 13. We're coming back to our story, don't worry. John chapter 13. And I would like someone to read verse 4 and 5 of John chapter 13. Thank you, sir. Who's this talking about? Jesus. So Jesus went and washed whose feet? The disciples' feet. In the custom of their time, who was the superior one? Who was the superior one in the custom of their time when it comes to feet washing? Whoever's feet were getting washed was superior to the one whose feet, who was washing the feet. Does it make sense? Based upon their understanding. And by the way, we can see that custom throughout Scripture. Whoever's feet were getting washed was superior to the one who was washing the feet. Would you come forward and help me out? So I've got my friend here. Can you see him? Have a seat, sir. Keep your shoes on. Illustration only. Are you ready? I kneel at Nathaniel's feet. I wash his feet. Who is the superior one? Nathaniel is. Who is the servant? Me. So, how many of you have ever been taking part in a foot washing service? Thank you so much, Nathaniel. The reason we have a foot washing service is because we're supposed to show our humility by washing someone else's feet. It was putting yourself in a servanthood position. Jesus did that for his disciples, and he does that for you and for me. He puts himself at our feet. We who should be laying at his feet and saying, Lord, who am I? That's how we should respond to Christ. And yet, he puts himself at the feet of his disciples. Now, was it any of the disciples? How many disciples got their feet washed? All of them. And they were all great people, weren't they? Yeah, they were. They're fantastic. I mean, we had Peter who was going to do what in a few hours? Deny him. And then we had James and John who not too long ago had been threatening to kill people and every now and then could lose their tongue. But he put himself at their feet and washed their feet. But there was someone else. It was the very first person who Jesus washed the feet of. It was Judas. Which meant he was being treated as if he was the highest. And Jesus, who was the highest, was treating him as if he was the lowest. Jesus was saying, I'm your servant, Judas. How could someone do that? Can you imagine someone who hates you so much that they want to kill you? And that's not exactly what's happening with Judas, and you and I understand it, but this was an enemy here. Can you imagine going to your enemy and being submissive to them and saying, what can I do to help you? How can I be here for you? How can I serve you? Is there someone who really gets on your nerves? Don't tell me who they are, but you can smile and you know, and you're thinking of someone maybe. Hopefully it's not a sibling. And you can go to them and say, I want to serve you. I want to be good to you. I want to help you make your life happier. That's awesome, isn't it? Does that take something that's not normal? It does. And Jesus has that and can give that to whoever wants it. Okay. Let's go back to our story. So we had two young men, and they were doing what? They were running. One of them was racing. The other one really didn't know what was happening. And the one who arrived first, his name was Ahimaaz. And did he have a message to give? No. You know, it's interesting. The only reason you're supposed to run in the Bible is when you have something to share. Well, at least if you're a messenger. Let me clarify that. There's other places for running. But if you're the messenger, what's the only reason for running? So when you're sitting, King David's sitting at the top of the gate, and he sees a man running towards him, and he says, ah, he has what? He has got a message for me. He's got good news. That's what they called it. Well, maybe not good news yet. It's news. He has news from the battle. Powerful. And when he got there, he had no news. And people looked at him like, what's wrong with you? Why would you run if you didn't have news? But the next man did. His name was Cushi. And when he arrived, he had news. Now, would you say Cushi's news was good or bad? Depends who you're talking about. It would have been good for David's kingdom, wouldn't it? So that was good news. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15. Anyone want to try doing this by memory? It's from your song. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Beautiful. Fantastic. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I used to get hung up on the word preparation, like yesterday. And I've been working through the word preparation for about 2 weeks now, trying to play with the word preparation. You know what preparation means? Being prepared or ready. I know that makes sense. But what's connected with feet here? The gospel of peace. Is there any other places in the Bible that talk about feet in connection with the gospel of peace? There is. You ready? Gentlemen, Isaiah 52:7. Ladies, Nahum 1:15. Isaiah 52:7 and Nahum 1:15. See if I pick someone who is not read yet. Yes, sir. If you could read Isaiah 52, verse 7. Yes. Thanks, Jerry. Wow. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that what? Bring. And what's the word that it uses in Isaiah? Okay, what's another word it uses? It says good news. And good news means what in our common language today? Gospel. So it's saying how beautiful are the feet of them that bring the gospel. What does it say here in Nahum chapter 1 verse 15? Yes, ma'am, in the back. Yes. So thank you very much. So I'm looking at Isaiah, and I look at Nahum, and you know they're both talking about battles. You have to read the context. We don't have time right now. Maybe you want to go back to your units and read it tomorrow morning. But they're both talking about battles. And in a battle, when God won, there was beautiful feet who'd say, God won. It was good tidings. Nahum, the enemies of God are destroyed. You're going to be able to sacrifice and worship in peace. No more war, no more battle. There will be peace. That's the good news in Isaiah and in Nahum. But there's a guy by the name of Paul. You've heard of Paul, right? And he completely takes this and adds a new element. Are you ready? Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 15. And this is a text for literature evangelists. Where are literature evangelists? Could you raise your hands, please? All the literature evangelists, raise your hands. All right, this text is yours, okay? Here it is. Romans 10:15. How should they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how what? Beautiful are what? The feet of them that do what? Preach what? The gospel of peace and bring what kind of things? Glad tidings of? Wow. So those who are carrying the gospel of peace or the good news of peace, the battle's over. The battle can be over in your life if you like it. They have beautiful feet. That's awesome. Those who are wearing the Christian armor have their feet shod with the preparation, the readiness to go out and share the gospel of peace. The good news of peace, which says, no more must there be a war in your heart. Surrender to God and you can have peace. Great peace have they which love thy law. Peace I give unto you, my peace. Right? Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Today I've got a question for you. Do you have peace? Some of you are loving camp right now. It's peaceful, isn't it? I can look out over the lake. I feel peaceful. I'm in the luxury suite. And I can look out in the morning over the lake and I say, wow, this is peace. And then after taps, I say, oh, there is peace. Do you say that after taps? Oh, you should. There is peace. But you know, sometimes even in a peaceful setting, my mind isn't peaceful. Have you ever had that happen? And I want to assure you that today, God can bring peace to our lives. He can bring peace to your life, can bring peace to my life. He can take any confusion or battles or straining or struggling that's taking place in our hearts. That's part of the Christian armor. Something that you really can't be successful in winning without. Something so beautiful to have. Today, two things we've learned. One thing, whoever is at the feet is what? He's the servant. Whoever has people at his feet is the ruler. He's the one who's in charge. I would encourage you today to fall at the feet of Jesus alone sometime. Not literally, necessarily, but in your mind sometime in the next 24 hours before the next deep Bible study class, take some time to fall at the feet of Jesus and say, I'm honoring you as my Lord. I'm honoring you as my God. And I believe when you do that, you will have peace. Peace like you've never had it. All right. That's my challenge. I'm going to ask you a question. I do this every day as part of deep Bible studies with teachers do. How many of you are willing to say, God, I want to learn how to have peace and to be at your feet? Amen. Let's stand as we close with prayer. Father in heaven, we are so thankful for you, for your willingness to be at our feet, to serve us. We pray that you'll help us to understand your lordship and to lay at your feet. Give each one of my friends here, give me the experience in the next day of really experiencing you as our Lord. Draw close to us now. Help us to enjoy the remainder of our day. Keep us safe, we pray. Draw close to us. In Jesus' name, amen.